Gathered, I'm sure our talk today is going to be on fellowship, but not only Christian fellowship. We're going to talk about three different fellowships today. And I know we've done a lot of things during the year, and we've talked about different events that we've had and activities, but the main purpose of those events or activities isn't the food. It's not the event. It's the gathering together that we can do together as the Christian family. And we had a gathering yesterday, and I was so pleased that we had quite a few members there. And it was a great time, a great fellowship. Yes, there was food. Yes, there was a park for the kids to play at. But those aren't the main reasons. The main reason is for us being able to talk together, gather together as a Christian family. And so that's why it's so important to strive to do those things more than once or twice a week. Now, not everybody has the opportunity every day of the week to do those things. People have to work. I used to have to work, but I'm retired now, so I have a little more time. But so whenever you can, though, it's so important to strive to meet with other Christians. And do things. So we read the scripture. Fletcher read the scripture. 1 John 1, 3 through 7. We'll read it once again here. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So, for my introduction, there's three aspects of fellowship, each in view to some degree in our sermon text that I will be addressing today. So we'll talk about each of those a little bit. There's fellowship among Christians, fellowship with the Lord, and number three, fellowship not with evil. And that's how the Bible describes it. Fellowship among Christians talks about when it comes to fellowship among people, I think first of all of Genesis 2:18, when God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him." Of course, this passage is in the context of marriage. We all know that. And God says next, "I will make him a helper suitable for him." But who could deny that this idea that man is not meant to be alone, that this idea extends also to the broader subject of fellowship? Christians are not meant to be alone, but to have fellowship with the church. We all need fellowship, all of us. That's part of God's purpose for us. We are social creatures, and so God has provided us with a church to fulfill much of that need. So what is Christian fellowship exactly? And how are we to socialize with other Christians? Is fellowship more than socializing? And how is fellowship among Christians different than fellowship in the world? What I'm going to do is list seven elements of Christian fellowship as we go through the sermon this morning. And hopefully some of these questions will be answered in this process. Okay. Number one, the necessity of baptism and confession. And we're not talking about confession like, you know, the Catholic Church has. We're talking about baptism and confession of a new believer, a new Christian. We have that common bond with others when we have unity in baptism and confess that Jesus Christ is our Lord. That's the confession. Psalm 133, verse 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity." 1 John 1:7, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." To have fellowship with one another, we must each walk in the light. Agreeing on the biblical view of God, three things: God, sin, and the plan of salvation. If we're going to have fellowship with each other, we have to believe in those three things, and we have to walk in the light. And simply, as Peter says in 1 Peter 3:8, "To sum up, all of you be harmonious," or in other words, be of one mind. Now, like Roy was talking about in his Bible class this morning, we were talking about two different things, right? We were talking about doctrinal issues and personal preference type issues. So anytime we're talking about a doctrinal issue from God's word, we have to be of that one mind. We have to be in unity. Fellowship is to be in word and deed, not only just saying it, but doing it. And that is, we must not only say we have unity in belief, but we must continue in deeds, not neglecting that unity. It says in Acts chapter 2, 42, that the people of the church devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They were devoted. This is an intentional and focused fellowship. It was their very lives, not just a passing, fleeting thought like, well, maybe I'll go to worship services today. It wasn't like that at all. They were devoted. Devotion is not just beliefs, but action as well. Their beliefs influenced their actions. So you have to have both. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They attended their worship services and participated in the communion. We're supposed to be devoted to one another. How can we show devotion to one another? We can check up on members. Anyone you have not seen in a while or talked to, we call. We've had, I think, a really good record in this congregation of people doing that, of members checking up on each other, making sure that they're okay, making sure that, you know, there's not something we can do to help them in some way. We need to consider one another to be blessings, not, oh, I got to call him again or her, you know, and I just keep calling and nothing happens. You know, we don't want that kind of attitude. We don't want to have that kind of attitude within us. We want to consider one another to be blessings and not trouble. Have you ever thought about why country people are thought to be friendlier than city people? Well, in the city, everyone is an obstacle to get around, right? There's traffic, there's people all over the streets. You can hardly walk in the big cities. Well, but in the country, with there being fewer people, everyone is an opportunity for conversation, for commerce, or friendship. A lot more space, a lot more, you know, it's slower paced. That's the way things should be in the church. No one should ever be an obstacle or an opponent, but all should be welcomed as beneficial to each other. And as long as we have that attitude in our heart and mind, then we'll never think of each other as a troubling person. We want each of us to be a benefit to each other. That's why it's just another reason why we want to gather together whenever we can. Consider one another as opportunities for you to show love, to bless someone in some way. Consider one another as opportunities to be sharpened by iron. No one knows everything. We can learn much by discussing things and listening to one another. That's another part of having fellowship, of spending time with each other at a night or a game night or at a park like we did yesterday. You can ask each other questions about, hey, you know, in that sermon last week that Randy taught or that Randy spoke about, wasn't he kind of nervous up there? And you know, and this, you know. But anyway, that's the idea. You get to talk about Christian things. You want to talk about biblical things at those gatherings. It gives you a chance to talk with people that you might not have talked to here much, because most of the time here, what's happening? We're looking at the back of each other's heads, right? That's what it is. Now, I'm not saying that derogatorily, but that's the activity that we have here in service to God, is listening to a sermon in a Bible class and partaking of the Lord's Supper. Just a side note, just for a minute, since I talked about that. This is a totally different view that I have today. Normally, I have the same view you do, looking at two eyeballs. And today, I've got 120 looking at me, so it's a little different. But it's okay. And, you know, it's a blessing to do this. It's a blessing to prepare this lesson. It helps me understand God's word more, and hopefully you'll get something out of this lesson. But I didn't feel that way when I agreed to preach a lesson. There's a lot of stress involved. So, anyway, we'll go to the next slide here. Be devoted to prayer also for one another. Prayer is very important in our lives. And we all know that. That is very important. Prayer works. God hears our prayers. In Acts, as we have read, they were devoted to prayer, and so should we be. We should pray for others and ask others how you can pray for them. And we've got some scriptures on there that have to do with prayer. Be devoted also to attending worship service. Now, we realize attendance, you know, that's only one thing. It isn't everything that we should be doing. But it is something. It is something to be here, to listen to a service, to listen to and partake of the Lord's Supper. We should pray for others and ask others how you can pray for them. Be devoted to attending worship services. We see also in Acts that they were devoted to the breaking of bread. That is, they came together to worship and have communion. But fellowship is more than just coming to church service. But it is, at least, attendance. You have to be on the same ship with your fellows if you want to have fellowship. I know that's a lame pun, but you get the idea. In Hebrews 10:25 says that we are not to forsake the assembling of the brethren, but we get even more understanding looking at it along with the previous verse of that section. Hebrews 10:24 and 25, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the meeting together stimulates or stirs up one another to love and good deeds. Think about a coach in a locker room. His team's behind. What's he in there doing? In the halftime, or, you know, if it's football, if it's halftime. What's he in there doing? He is doing everything he can to stir that team up, right? He is saying things, and he's motivated, and he wants the team to be motivated. Well, that's no different with us. God wants us to be stirred up for him, and God wants us to be stirred up to love and have that fellowship with the brethren. So sometimes it takes other people, coaches, for instance, a coach, to stir us up. And that's one of the things that happens, I think, sometimes in these events that we have. People get to talking, oh yeah, I haven't done that, but I should. That's a really good idea you have about reading the Bible or whatever it is. Those are the things that are important. Those are the reasons why God wants us to have that fellowship one with another, because iron sharpens iron. So let our fellowship be for such mutual encouragement, stimulating one another to love and good deeds. That's what it's all about. Christian fellowship does not end when church is over, church service is over. It shouldn't. I know maybe, you know, in some people's minds in different kinds of church groups it does, but it shouldn't. And if we're going to be successful or going to be the type of Christian God wants us to be, we need to have that attitude in our hearts all week about people and about the membership of this church family. In the Gospels and Acts, Jesus' fellowship with his apostles is highlighted as a period of teaching, shared meals, and spiritual guidance. Now we see in the Bible where Jesus is walking along the dirt roads with his apostles, teaching them. But is that all he's doing? No. They eat, they share meals, they have joyous times together. And Jesus also gives them the spiritual guidance they need to keep on keeping on. And that's what we can do for each other. We can do that same thing. For somebody that might be having a tough time right now, somebody else sits down with them at the picnic table or wherever you're at and starts talking about them about something, and that really starts boosting that person up. That's fellowship. That's what we want to do. In the Gospel of Acts, Jesus' fellowship with his apostles is highlighted as a period of teaching, shared meals, and spiritual guidance. Key scriptures include in Acts 2:42 through 47, which describes the early church's devotion to the apostles' teaching. Fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayer. And John 34 through 35, where Jesus emphasizes the importance of love and unity among his followers. We should continue our fellowship through the week. Yes, we have Wednesday Bible class, and that's great that we do. We're consistent about that. But again, it's a class. You don't have a lot of time to talk with each other, to converse with each other, to see how each other is doing. But we also have various interactions and activities that are designed to encourage one another. The shepherds know that in this congregation, we do know that things are being done for one another in the church. The latest thing is the women are connected to a new WhatsApp, which is great. You know, that's great. That's a really good tie-in for the women to have to share the news that's going on. That's really a good thing. Members provide rides for each other's members. There are meals provided for those that need them, visiting, praying for one another. We do a good job here. This congregation, the members here, try to do that often. And it's wonderful that we do. And so we know good things are going on. But we can always improve, and we can always do more. We can always help someone that maybe nobody knew was having trouble. You know, some members just don't share much. And so isn't it a great time if you're at a game night or a park or something to be able to sit down with that person and say, hey, what's going on in your life? You know, things going good? No, not really. Here's what's going on. Well, let's see if I can help. Those are so important to do for people. All right. There's been really good attendance, too, at our monthly gatherings that we've had. And there's always room for more, but we've had good attendance. So it would be great for, you know, if you haven't been coming to those, if you do, because they are very valuable. The food's not always the best if we go to a restaurant or something, but yesterday's potluck was absolutely fantastic. The ladies here know how to put together the food. And the men know how to eat it. All these fellowship elements are designed to support, encourage, and build up each other. That's what they're for. Breaking of bread and prayer in John 14:35, where Jesus emphasizes the importance of love and unity among his followers. Okay. The scriptures highlight the importance of fellowship, love, and unity in the Christian community, with Jesus' example and teachings serving as the foundation. Fellowship with God is actually the prerequisite. We have to have fellowship with God before we can carry on that with our brethren. So let's move then from fellowship among Christians to fellowship with God. We'll talk about that a little bit. In a number of places, we find that our love for one another is possible because God, what? He first loved us. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's where it comes from. John 13:34, a new commandment that I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And in Romans 15:7, therefore accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. And I'm sorry, I apologize, because I didn't tell you the version that I'm reading out of all these. It's the New American Standard. So I should have done that up front. Jesus broke down that wall dividing us from God, didn't he? That wall of sin. He's the one that gave his life for ours. So Jesus provides the standard by which we are to love one another. As he loved us, so we are to walk in love. We each have fellowship with God, and therefore we have fellowship with one another. But what about unbelievers? Can we have fellowship with unbelievers? The Bible tells us, fellowship not with evil. There are, of course, many scriptures that warn against joining in on the evil of the wicked. Psalm 1:1, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. Proverbs 22:24, do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be bound together with unbelievers, for what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And then James 4:4, you adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So you might conclude by those scriptures that we should be friendly. You might conclude saying we should be friendly to all but friends only with believers. But that's not entirely accurate. The reality is that we may be friends with unbelievers. Probably most everyone in here has some friends and associates with some unbelievers, right? We probably all do. But it's difficult to be as close, and there are warnings to be heeded in such friendships. So, you know, yes, we have friends. I have friends that are unbelievers. I'm sure most of us do. But it's hard to be as close to them as it is to our own Christian family. While we are to love our neighbors as ourselves, there is certainly a special love we are to have for fellow Christians above all others. Above all others. We can have friendships and relationships with unbelievers, but true Christian fellowship can only occur within the body of Christ. Two people in the body of Christ, two or more. And we can't have that fellowship with people outside the body of Christ. So, in conclusion, let us pray for growth in our fellowship, that no one feels left out. That's the last thing we want, is for anybody in our Christian family to ever feel left out. But that all will be motivated to help to edify and build up one another, not just on the Lord's Day, but all during the week. And to be rewarded and blessed in both the giving and receiving of Christian love. So I have a quick little story, true story. And this just goes back just a few years ago when I was in high school. I used to play baseball in high school, and so when we had baseball tryouts, every early spring when the rain was coming down hard and all that, we'd have baseball tryouts. And the coach, usually he'd have a sign-up sheet of about 50 people, 50 guys. And so he would gather us up the first practice or the first tryouts and tell us that, okay, men, everybody would bring their baseball gloves, right? Getting ready to play baseball. You can all go back to your lockers, put your baseball gloves away, and then get back out here, run back out here right away. Okay, so everybody runs back out. And then he says, now, what I want you to do is follow Bill. Bill was like his assistant coach. You're going to follow him and you're going to run. And you're going to run and you're going to run and you're going to run. So we'd just be running. We didn't know where we were going. We were just following Bill. So we're running and running and running. We did that for a week solid. No gloves, no baseball gloves. Couldn't have those. And the second week, it just started pouring down rain. And then some of the guys said, boy, this will be great. Now we won't have to do this. Well, no, we did have to do it anyway. Coach said, okay, it's really raining pretty hard, so everybody into the gym. They pull out the bleachers. They pull them all the way out. And so all you do is run up the bleachers, across and down, up, across and down for 1 hour without stopping. That was his practice. So by the time 2 weeks were done, the roster was down to 25, about 25 to 30. That's what he wanted. The rest of the guys gave up without even throwing a ball. He knew that would happen. But the rest of us knew there was a reward at the end of this running. The reward was what we were looking at. So the end of 2 weeks, he says, okay, those who are left, go get your gloves. Come on out, we're going to start playing ball. And so I always remember that because it was a great lesson. You know, some of us could see the reward ahead. We're going to be on the team. We're going to play baseball. The others said, ah, baloney with this. I'm done. If this is all we're going to do is run, I thought I was going to play baseball. I didn't know I was going to be in track. So I just wanted to share that little story with you because I always remember it. So in final, something that I want to say finally, let all that we do be because Christ first loved us. So if there's anybody that would like the prayers of the congregation, now is the time to come forward as we stand and sing.